Hello, and welcome to the Life Center Podcast. We're a church in Tacoma, Washington that exists to inspire our community to love and follow Jesus. To find out more about what's going on at all of our campuses, you can download the Life Center app, interact with us on social media, or visit lifecenter.com. Let's jump into this week's message. Thanks for listening.
Hey, we're so glad that you're with us today. Hopefully you received one of these cards on your way in. It gives some information on how to download our study guide. Over the next number of weeks, today we begin a brand new series on the Sermon on the Mount. This is a collection of Jesus' teachings found in Matthew's chapter 5, 6, and 7. We've entitled the series Paradigm Shift, and we provided the study guide. Why? Because we want to help equip you to take what we're learning on the weekend and pull that into the week. So grab one of these cards. There's information on how you can do that, be a part of this study as we continue to move forward. Today, I want to talk on this idea of a fresh perspective, And we're going to look in just a moment to Matthew chapter 5. And what we're going to realize over the next number of weeks is that Jesus' vision and values for life in his kingdom is a little bit different than what our world's vision and values are. So we're going to talk about this idea, this dynamic of what a paradigm shift looks like for us as followers of Jesus. But before we get there, how many of you have ever had a massive life-altering perspective shift? Anybody? 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 For me, it happened in the mid-90s at the Tacoma Mall. That's right. It's amazing what happens at the Tacoma Mall. Just keep your eyes open. It can happen at any moment. But I remember in the mid-90s, there was this artwork that would be on display at the Tacoma Mall. And I remember the first time I noticed this, there was groups of people gathered around these posters, and they were just standing there, staring, looking. And all of a sudden, somebody was like, oh, I see it. I'm looking at it going, what? Let me throw an image up on the screen. Maybe you remember these. Come on, any 90s kids in the house, you remember these? The magic eye, right? And it was amazing because every time I would show up at the mall, there would be groups of people gathered around these posters and they're looking at it. They're trying tricks. People had pro tips that they were trying to share. You remember some of the pro tips, right? One person said, no, you got to try to look at the end of your nose and cross your eyes. Then you can see it. I was like, no, I don't think I want to do that, you know? There was other people who say, you know, you got to look at it, but don't just look at it. Look through it. And I remember even as a middle schooler going, man, you people are, this is weird, right? But I wanted to fit in. And so what did I do? I started standing there going, oh, yeah, I see it. I see it. I remember one time I walked up to this poster and I was like, oh, I see it. And somebody had been standing there for minutes looking at it going, and they asked me, well, what do you see? I go, it's a puppy. And the person was like, that's not a puppy, man. That's a dolphin jumping out of a wave. I was like, oh, it looks like a puppy, you know. But how many of you can recognize what's on the screen right now? Anybody see it? Anybody see it? Anybody see it? So you're telling me you don't see the Tyrannosaurus Rex in the middle. There's a Stegosaurus down below. There's a pterodactyl in the upper left. You don't see this. Come on, people. Right? There's something about being able to see things in a new light. Now, obviously, it's a little bit hard when it's a big screen kind of far away. You're not looking directly at it. It's a little bit more challenging. But here's what we're going to find as it relates to Jesus' teaching in the Sermon on the Mount. In life, especially life in his kingdom, it's not just what we see, it's how we see it. It's not just what we see, it's how we see it. And Jesus is going to spend these next number of chapters equipping people to understand that the arrival of the kingdom has happened and life in the kingdom looks a little bit different. There needs to be a paradigm shift. What's a paradigm? A paradigm is the lens that you look at life through. So here's what I need all of us to understand today. Each and every one of us, we have a certain paradigm. We have a perspective, a lens that we view life through, what it should look like, what it shouldn't look like, the things that are valuable, the things that are not valuable. And this idea of allowing a paradigm shift, a shift has taken place when you let go of something old and you embrace something new. And this is really what Jesus is inviting us into, because one of the things that he's going to say over and over in the coming chapters is he'll say this statement: "You have heard it said, but I say to you." What's he doing? He's taking our perspective and flipping it on its head. And the reality is, listen, there's a lot of assumptions that we live in our culture and our world with. How many of us, we want to experience blessing in our lives, right? I've never met an individual over time who says, you know what, I'm so blessed, I could probably go down a couple of notches. I'm looking for a little bit less blessing. No, we all want to experience blessing. We want to experience that sense of fulfillment in life, don't we? And yet, as we're about to see in just a moment, Jesus, he takes the idea of what blessing is and he kind of turns it. There's a little bit of a paradigm shift that happens. If I were to survey us today, many of us, as we think about the idea of blessing, we would feel like blessing has arrived if you know, life is comfortable. How many feel blessed when life is comfortable? Yeah. It's interesting. That rarely happens for an entire week, rarely happens for an entire day. It's usually a portion of a day. And somebody catches you and they're like, "Man, how you doing, man?" I'm blessed. Why? Because life is kind of going how you want it to go. Isn't that how we describe blessing? Man, my relationships are good. My finances are good. My health is good. Some of us, we would say, well, I'm blessed because my portfolio or my career, it's up and to the right. I mean, things are moving forward. I'm gaining traction. I'm gaining ground. Some of us, let's be honest, come on. Some of us, we would say, I'm blessed because there's still money in the account before payday. Can I get an amen? Right? It's interesting how we define blessing. Now notice, each and every one of those blessings are outside, not inside. They're external, they're not really internal. And Jesus here, he's about to begin to release this idea, this understanding. Here's the values in my kingdom. Here's the attitudes that I want citizens in my kingdom to live out and to understand. And so as we jump into Matthew chapter 5, I want you to consider for a moment, what if our perspective shifted on what the blessed life was really all about? What if our perspective adjusted today? That it wasn't just in alignment with what we feel like it should be. What if we consider Jesus' words today about what blessing looks like? Matthew chapter 5, starting in verse 1, it says this: "One day, as he saw the crowds gathering, Jesus went up on a mountainside and he sat down." This was the normal position of a rabbi to teach. He would sit and teach and communicate. It says that his disciples gathered around him and he began to teach them. Now listen to how he describes the pathway of blessing. "God blesses those who are poor and realize their need for him, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs." Now, this word here for poor, it's not talking about a financial reality. More so, it's referring to a state of understanding about your spiritual condition. That you realize you have a deficit that you can do nothing about. And Jesus says, that's the pathway to blessing. It's understanding that you're poor in spirit. He goes on, "God blesses those who mourn." How many of you woke up today and you spent the first 3 hours of your day lamenting, going, "Man, I am so blessed"? That's not really how we equate blessing, is it? But Jesus says, God blesses those who mourn, for they will be comforted. God blesses those who are humble, for they will inherit the whole earth. God blesses those who hunger and thirst for justice, for they will be satisfied. God blesses those who are merciful, for they will be shown mercy. God blesses those whose hearts are pure, for they will see God. God blesses those who work for peace, for they will be called the children of God. God blesses those who are persecuted for doing right, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. We refer to these as the Beatitudes. And Jesus here, he's describing the attitudes that need to be cultivated in our lives. And yet, if you look at the pathway to walking these attitudes out, they don't feel like blessing, do they? In fact, Jesus is about to take it up a notch. Let's look at the next couple of verses in verse 11 and 12. God blesses you when people mock you and persecute you and lie about you and say all sorts of evil things. Come on, how many of you want to sign up for that list right there? Woo! They're lying about me again. Blessed. Blessing is coming. Most of us, we don't equate that with blessing, do we? We kind of, inside, we're stomping our feet. We're like, what is going on around here? We want the dynamic to change. But Jesus is saying here, listen, God blesses you when people mock you and persecute you and lie about you and say all sorts of evil things against you because you are my follower. Be happy about it. Be very glad. Now, either all of Jesus' words are true and accurate and authoritative, or they're not. And that last statement, be happy about it, rejoice. How many of us can recognize and understand that's a little bit of a paradigm shift? Man, people are lying about me. People are mocking me. I love it. So blessed. I mean, no, your family is ready to check you into an institution if you're walking around like that. Why? Because everything in our culture, in our society, in our humanity has trained us to see that as a curse, not a blessing. Jesus says this, be happy about it, be very glad, for a great reward awaits you in heaven. And remember, the ancient prophets, they were persecuted in the same way. See, Jesus, he's focusing in on life in the kingdom. And this is what it looks like as citizens of his kingdom, that when we look at these challenges, it's actually a pathway to experiencing blessing. And yet, at times, we look at these words and we kind of wrestle with them. Maybe you're a little bit like me. From time to time, I like to look at different translations of Scripture just to kind of give me a fresh perspective on it. Anybody else ever do that? So today, there's a brand new translation just out that I want us to look at today that speaks to the Beatitudes. This is brand new. It's hot off the press. It's called the American Mindset Translation. It's brand new. How do I know it's brand new? Because I wrote it this week, okay? So this is the American Mindset Translation of the Beatitudes. God has blessed the rich and self-sufficient because they will be helpful to him. I'll just keep going. Okay. God has blessed those who never need comfort because their life is amazing, as seen on their Instagram. God's blessing is on the prideful because they call all the shots. God has blessed those who know how to find the gray areas and exploit them to their gain, for they are full of the good life. It's getting kind of quiet in here. God blesses those who know how to help themselves get ahead. You ever seen that? God's blessing is upon those who know how to have the right external appearance. Why? Because they will help him with his branding. You ever convince yourself, God, you just need a little rebrand here. I'm going to help you out. Right? God blesses those who leverage the idea of peace for their own gain. they will be his favorites. God has clearly blessed you when no one ever talks bad about you, because clearly you have arrived. You've arrived. Be looking at a bookstore near you, the American Mindset Translation. Now, obviously, there's a little bit of sarcasm, but how many of us have ever seen these attitudes lived out in our culture? And it's interesting, when you put that idea next to Jesus' words, they don't seem to go together very well. There seems to be a little bit of a distance. And maybe it's because Jesus' vision and values are a little bit different than ours. In other words, maybe his kingdom is upside down from the kingdoms of this world. Maybe there does need to be a paradigm shift. Maybe we need to let go of an old way of seeing things and embrace a new framework of how we view life through. See, what I want us to understand something important today, and it's this thought. Blessing is not found in the circumstances around us. So often we stop at that level. We say, okay, I'm blessed because this is going well. Blessing's not just found in the circumstances around us. Understand this. Blessing is found in what God desires to cultivate within you. If you think about each of these Beatitudes, think about each of these statements. What's going on? Those things that we encounter, it's creating space for God to show up and cultivate something within us. It's when we realize that I am poor in spirit. In other words, I have no right to stand before God and say, hey, let me in. I have every right to stand before God and say, I'm not good enough. I need some help. Poor in spirit. What happens when we're poor in spirit? There's space for God to show up and say, hey, even though you're poor, I'm not. Let me help you. This is the pathway to blessing. God blesses those who mourn. What is that mourning all about? It's mourning, being broken over the state of sin in our lives. Here's the reality. I am a sinner saved by grace. God's grace is still enough for you. It's still enough for me. But we need to understand that sin, man, it should bring us to a place of saying, God, I'm sorry that I've broken your heart. God, I'm sorry that I did the thing that I said I wouldn't do. God, forgive me. All of a sudden, guess what happens? In that place of mourning, there's an opportunity for God's blessing to show up. See, it's not just about the external circumstances. So often we leave it just as exterior blessing, but Jesus is showing us a different value system here. And today, I want to share five fresh perspectives on blessing. Five fresh perspectives of what blessing kind of looks like. And have you ever experienced a moment where you're reading scripture and it kind of hits you right there? This is one of those passages because it's so upside down from how we actually operate day to day in our American society. But today, there's an opportunity for us to pause and consider, Jesus, if that's how you define where blessing's going to show up, Lord, I want to keep in step with where you're wanting me to go. Here's five thoughts. Some of you are nervous because I have five thoughts. Five thoughts. We're going to get through this quick. All right. Number one is this. The first thought is this. Jesus is working for my good and his glory, not my comfort. Now, when we hear that, most of us, that doesn't sound like a blessing statement. We like comfort, all of us. We enjoy it, we crave it, we long for it. But at the end of the day, understand, Jesus' primary goal in your life, Jesus' primary goal in the life of Tyler is not, hey, how can I make you a little bit more comfortable? See, as a parent, listen, there was moments in my children's developmental process that if my primary goal would have been just to keep them comfortable, I would have short-circuited some of the processes of development that they needed. There was times that they would look at me and I don't want to walk, I just want to be carried. Imagine if I carried them for the rest of their lives. See, there's a part of this development process that's actually needed in order for them to become high-functioning adults. And yet, if I just try to appease their desire for comfort, what am I doing? I'm actually hindering them. Can I tell you, in the same way, our Heavenly Father, He knows what we need to be developed into the people that He's calling us to be. But there's times that I don't want development, I just want comfort. Jesus, no more, just carry. And here's the good news. God knows when to carry us, but He also knows when to tell us to get up and walk. Look at the scriptures. Jesus looks at people and at times He says, no, stand up, take up your mat, walk. In other words, there's a new chapter here. You need to begin to work some of those things out. See, at the end of the day, what is God setting out to do in my life? What does Jesus want to cultivate? He is working for my good, but ultimately for His glory, not mine. We need to understand there's going to be times where if I'm living for God's glory, my comfort is going to have to be set aside. There's times that I'm going to look at living for God's glory and it doesn't necessarily feel good to me, but it's actually the best thing for me. Why? Because God is busy at work bringing things together for my good. And when I experience that good, when I experience that blessing, what does that do? It brings Him glory. It brings Him glory. It's the second thought. Second thought. Challenges around me help refine the character within me. So we look at Jesus' words here in the Sermon on the Mount. It becomes clear when you face challenges, when you have people lie about you, mock you, persecute you, what is that all about? Why can we say we're blessed? Because it doesn't feel like blessing. But what's happening there is as we encounter the challenges around us, it's creating opportunity. Can you say opportunity? It's creating opportunity for my character to be refined within me. Have you noticed that babies are not born with this incredible character just out the gate? Right? What's every child's favorite word? No and mine, right? No, mine, me. It's fascinating, really. I was a youth pastor for a long time. I met a lot of teenagers that didn't grow out of that. As somebody who works with adults, okay, so challenges around me, what do we do? Well, Jesus is saying, no, you need to see the opportunity here. There's an opportunity. This challenge is creating space within your heart for me to begin to work inside of you and actually bring about the greater blessing. Because I don't want to just bless you from the exterior. I want to bless you from the inside out. Did you know that Jesus always works from the inside out? Some of us, we want God to bless all of the stuff around us, but we don't want Him to touch or deal with anything inside of us. That's not how life works in the kingdom. Challenges around me create opportunity for my character to be refined. Number three, it's possible to have a blessed external life and yet still have an impoverished internal life. It's blessed to have all, it's possible to have all the right external blessings. Listen, the car, the house, the social media following, the whatever it might be for you. You see, there's things that we look at in our culture, in our society, and we say, man, they have it all, don't they? And what do? We get a little bit jealous. Man, I wish I could be them. I wish I could just have stacks of money that I would never have to worry about it again. But here's what's interesting. So many people who have the external appearance of blessing, inwardly they're impoverished. They're looking for something greater, and the next paycheck never provides it. That next relationship, that one-night stand, it never seems to work. That next hit on whatever it might be, it never seems to satisfy. And so all of the external appearances of blessing may be there, but inwardly, You see, that's what Jesus is inviting us into over these next number of weeks is to do a work inside of us, to allow how we see blessing, to how we see life in his kingdom, to have a shift take place. At the end of the day, he doesn't just want to change the circumstances around you, friends. He wants to deal with the realities on the inside of you. It's the next one. Jesus is more concerned with the person I am becoming than with the person I have been. Jesus is more concerned with the person that I am becoming than just with the person that I've been. This is important to understand because some of us, we look at our track record and man, we got a lot of trophies behind us. Hey, I've lived a pretty good life, been faithful. Man, I did that missions trip back then. I sacrificially gave back then. And all of a sudden we're like, yeah, we're resting on the good we have done when Jesus is still saying, no, there's more that I want to do in you. In other words, he's welcoming us into this lifelong development process where we begin to look more like him and less like us. So this is, for those of us who we look at the track record in our lives, we go, oh, it's pretty good. Guess what? Jesus is more interested in who you're becoming than what you've done for him. But it also works for the bad. Because maybe there's some who walk through the doors today or you're watching online and you look at the rearview mirror of your life and you go, man, there's a lot of failure. There's a lot of flaws. There's a lot of fracture back here. Man, I've really messed up. And here's the good news about grace. It changes everything. It changes everything. Jesus is not measuring you by your worst moment. Aren't you thankful for that? But he's welcoming you in as a citizen of the kingdom to understand, even though the past may be scattered with some bad, who are you becoming today? Because the good news, through his grace, we are not who we once were. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus, he's more concerned with who I'm becoming. So let me ask, who is it that you're becoming? Who are you becoming today? Decision by decision, minute by minute, moment by moment. Are you journeying in this place where your paradigm is being shifted? He's calling you to be a new creation. Here's the fifth and final thought on blessing as we look at these first few verses of the Sermon on the Mount. Fifth, when Jesus' values and views are different than mine, he isn't the one that needs to adjust. There's times that I read scripture and I look at it and I'm like, I don't know if I like that wording. There's times that I would love to be able to kind of adjust the words to fit me. But at the end of the day, we need to understand that if he is proclaiming the arrival of the kingdom, we need to stop and ask our question. If there's a kingdom, it means that there's a king. And here at Life Center, one of our staff values, it deals with the area of humility. We have a little statement. It's up on the walls in our offices. It says this: there's a king over the kingdom, and that king is not me. The king's not me. And what that means is there's going to be times as we journey through the next number of weeks, and we're going to hear some of Jesus' words, and it's going to hit us a little bit. And there's going to be a clash between his vision and my vision, his values and my values. And at that moment, something's going to have to give. And I tell you who won't budge. It's the king. When I come into that place in life where my vision and values kind of clash with Jesus' vision and values, we need to understand somebody needs to move, but it's not Jesus. It's me. It's me. That's what this whole paradigm shift is about. Understanding who God is calling and creating us to be. Understanding that blessing at the end of the day, it's not just about the external facades that sometimes we spend so much energy brushing up and making people think you're living the blessed life, where internally, some of us today, internally, we feel like we are slowly dying. Jesus wants to bring blessing. He wants to do something in you today, not just around you. See, some of those circumstances that you're walking through today, they're opportunity. They're opportunity for what? For God to be let in, for God to begin to show up, for God to begin to renew and cultivate and transform. So today, can I invite you to stand across this room? I've asked the worship team to lead us in a song where we declare that our God, he's done it before and he can do it again. And here's why we take some time to worship at the end of our gathering at Life Center, and why I would ask that nobody move for the next couple of minutes. Because at times, especially in our culture and our society, we want to hear the information and just go. But maybe, just maybe, in the next couple of minutes, the Holy Spirit wants to put a deposit in your heart. God wants to speak to you. God wants to realign some things. God wants to shift some perspective today. And so can we take a moment to do that? Can we take a moment just to rest in his presence? Listen, we still got 5 minutes before we even hit an hour. And some of you were sweating when I said I have 5 points. There's miracles that happen every day, ladies and gentlemen. There's miracles that happen every day. Can we sing this out today? That the fact that his promise still stands. Great is his faithfulness. Sometimes I look at the circumstances. Sometimes I want to be rescued from the challenge. But today, there's an opportunity for us to pause and say, God, what blessing do you want to bring about in me? What blessing do you want to bring about through me? Lord, as a citizen in your kingdom, help my values be in alignment with your values. Help my vision to be in alignment with your vision. Come on, let's sing this together. Your promise still stands.